101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Local attorney Royal Alexander joining us. Royal, good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Thank you for getting up and talking with us this morning. This congressional district lines, this is the nightmare we can't seem to wake up from. It just goes on and on. The Supreme Court ruling, what are we expecting when?
Well, the Supreme Court has decided not to decide the case in time to change the 2026 line. In other words, they will hand down the ruling in the Calais case, Calais v. Louisiana, sometime in their late spring, typical late spring calendar. So I think the state, I think the governor, I think the state legislature were hoping for a decision prior to the end of 2025 so that that would be time to redraw the lines. But it looks like there will not be time to do that. So we will run this year under the lines as they are now, which means, again, I think you can make a real argument that these lines have been gerrymandered.
There were some, Royal, that were hoping that the Supreme Court on Friday, when they were issuing some preliminary rulings, might include this, but the Louisiana case was not included, and now we're beyond the point of no return for the elections, right?
We are. I can't imagine a scenario, because, and the reason for that, Aaron, is because we're now in a closed primary system for several races in Louisiana. Not everyone, but the federal races for sure, the U.S. Senate, U.S. House, Public Service Commission. And essentially what we're talking about is that those dates are going to be in the election for the closed primaries is going to be May 16th, which means qualifying is February 11th through 13th. And there's just no time really between now and then for the special session to meet in Baton Rouge and redraw the lines if the Supreme Court were to hand down a decision saying that this district was unconstitutional. And I'm talking about the U.S. Rep. Fields, Representative Cleo Fields' district.
Why do you suppose Governor Landry supported this?
That's an interesting question. I really don't know. I don't know if it has something to do with politics. I don't know if it has something to do with...
A lot of people are asking that question.
They are. And what's so interesting about this case is, first of all, whenever there's a Louisiana case that's before the United States Supreme Court, I think, I'm speculating because guessing what a court will do is always kind of a fool's errand, but I think there's a chance the U.S. Supreme Court will use the Calais case to say that essentially we're going to do away with Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. What we have here is a collision of two laws. One is a federal statute, one is the Constitution itself. The Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act says under no circumstance can you dilute minority voting strength. And the other side of that is the Equal Protection Clause, which prohibits drawing congressional districts based on race. Well, those two things are colliding here. Mm-hmm. And in other words, something has to yield. Either you're going to say you never can dilute minority voting rights, or because you're going to keep having districts like this one for Congressman Fields. On the other hand, equal protection says that you can't draw a district based on race. And when you look at that district as it's currently configured across the state of Louisiana, it's hard to imagine a justification other than race for a district that looks like that.
But then there will be those that will say, well, then a lot of states, Louisiana included, would never draw a district where an African-American could be elected.
Well, equal protection says, there's always going to be a New Orleans district. It is a predominantly black, predominantly minority district. So, but in some states, there's not even one Republican district. So everything kind of washes out in a way, Aaron. In other words, in states like Massachusetts, even though they have the population to probably support two congressional districts, there's not one Republican district in Massachusetts.
And California is trying to kill what Republican districts there are.
Right. So what I'm saying is both sides try to redistrict to their advantage. And what's interesting, the U.S. Supreme Court has said, look, those are all political questions. If your legislature has the ability to draw districts like that, fine. That's political. We're not getting involved until you make it about race. Then that offends the Equal Protection Clause, and we're getting involved. I just think it was the Voting Rights Act was well-intentioned for a long time, but it puts states in such a difficult position because on the one hand you're saying you cannot dilute. Louisiana has enough minority population to have two congressional districts. You just can't draw a district all over the state based on race to go create that second.
So how would you draw the line that second district? I mean, we've seen the Zorro district before. We've seen all kind of crazy lines. How do you make that happen?
I really don't think you can. That's why the Supreme Court, I think, in this Calais case may end up saying, look, we've been doing this, you know, affirmative action, congressional redistricting, all of that for 50 years. At some point, we have to go back to just the Constitution itself and say equal protection requires generally compact, generally contiguous districts. And we're just going to do it from there. And that part of the Voting Rights Act will have to be changed or struck down because there's no way, any other way to get it. I mean, if you say if you don't dilute minority voting, then we're going to have two congressional districts, but they're not located. That population is not located enough, compactly enough in one part of Louisiana. So you keep having these crazy districts across the whole state. I mean, this one, the Representative Fields district runs from outside of Baton Rouge, to outside of Lafayette, to outside of Alexandria, to outside of Shreveport.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's just hard to, and this is Cleo Fields 30 years ago had that Zorro district. You're exactly right, Aaron. Mm-hmm. And so he's, if things stay the way they are now, he'll have it for two more years.
And then what then?
I think they're going to strike down this part of Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act where you can't dilute minority voting strength. You can't do it on purpose, but we also can't have these districts based on race because the Supreme Court says that directly offends equal protection to draw districts. And that's why they try to argue, oh, no, there's other things. There's political interests. You know, Shreveport has some things in common with Lafayette and outside of Baton Rouge, and I would argue that we are quite different from those places.
Well, they certainly think we're different when they exclude us from everything.
They do. Most of the political clout in Louisiana is in South Louisiana with the population, which mm-hmm. is why we only have two congressional districts really north of I-10. And we're so rural, Congresswoman Letlow's district has to run from Monroe, West Monroe, clear down to basically East Feliciana Parish. And Mike Johnson, Speaker Johnson's district, has to run basically from the Arkansas border, clear down to around like Opelousas. Mm. That's how rural we are. But speaking of Mike Johnson, guys, the reason this matters is because he is presiding over, as the Speaker of the House, a razor-thin majority.
I think it's down to one vote now, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe it's three. It may be three. Mm. But still, if to lose the Cleo Fields district out of the column, that razor-thin is a big deal, which is why, you know, some people are frustrated with Governor Landry because Mike Johnson is the speaker and he's barely the speaker. And they could use this one additional Cleo Fields district if, you know, if it were drawn in a way I think is more compact and correct.
Mm-hmm. Do you anticipate any legislative action during the spring session that will discuss this? I mean, they'll be too late to change the lines for now, but will they be looking at new lines for in the future?
I think I'll do it in the spring, but once the Supreme Court, because what they did was really to punt it. They could have ruled last year. We all remember that, and they decided not to. Mm-hmm. So the Supreme Court added rebriefing to figure out whether the 14th and 15th constitutional amendments were offended by the Calais district. And then they still didn't decide it. So I definitely think they're going to in their regular late spring calendar, and then I think the legislature will hop to it after that.
Does Cleo Fields have any viable contenders to run against him, or you don't see anything happening like that?
The district, it could be competitive depending on voter turnout. I just think it's certainly slanted. It's, you know, aimed to be a second minority district, which is why they had to draw it all over the state. And that's why I say the Voting Rights Act, I don't see how the two are incompatible. They clash. So something has to give. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Royal Alexander, local attorney, thanks for clearing this up, if you will. Appreciate
Absolutely,
your time.
Absolutely, guys. I enjoyed it.
Take care.
To you soon. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Actually turned on a little Monday Night Football last night.
Mm-hmm.
I got to the point where I was like, I've been rather ambivalent about Aaron Rodgers over the years. I didn't dislike him, didn't like him. Then he got kind of weird.
He is very weird. He's a strange man.
And when he grew his hair really long and he was doing Ruben, what was he doing? What was it? Some kind of... It wasn't drugs, but he was doing some weird, I don't remember what it was.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
He does some of those innovative medicine things, and he travels overseas for them, and he does all kind of
like
strange.
Stem cell treatments.
He does all
like
kinds.
No, this was like mushrooms. I mean, he was doing some.
Yeah.
Somebody let me know, because I don't remember. But anyway, he looks normal again.
Mm-hmm.
But he was acting like such a jerk. Now, I understand he was frustrated.
Yeah, it was a tough night for him last night.
tough night.
And Houston tried to give him the game. I mean,
Didn't they turn it over? Didn't they win like 30-6 or something?
Yeah, but they fumbled. Stroud fumbled twice through another interception.
Yeah,
I mean,
Stroud did not look good last
night. He did
not.
He needs some big improvement before the next game at New England. So,
yeah.
they've got some work to do, but... They tried to hand it over to him, and he wasn't taking it. And the thing is, the Houston defense is just stellar.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, just a monster.
I only watched the first half because I have to go to bed.
Yeah, they are incredible. And what did they only score? Pittsburgh only scored 6 points?
Yeah.
Is that what the final
was?
Yeah.
That was their...
That was it. And depressing if you're Aaron Rodgers. I think he's done. I may be surprised.
I meant to ask Fletch this morning, do you think he's coming back? I can't imagine.
I can't either. I really can't.
Yeah.
He has some good teammates around him, and he's obviously got good coaching, but... I think he's done. What is he, 41, 42? I don't know.
They said he's 40.
40? Okay. I can't see him playing another
season. But competitors like that, Aaron, don't want to go out on that note.
Right. You're absolutely right. And he went and hugged everybody. He was sweet at the end of the game, but you could tell he was a little bit,
he was frustrated.
Yeah, he was frustrated. That's probably
even Troy Aikman said, he's not shy about letting people know how he feels.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. Absolutely. No doubt about it.
Coming up, we spoke with Dr. Jeffrey Sado from LSU Political Science Department about the upcoming mayor's race. And there's a big announcement today by Stormy Gage Watts.
Yep.
And hear what Dr. Sado has to say right after the news, bottom of the hour. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Dr. Jeffrey Sadow talks about the upcoming mayor's race right after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. Caddo Parish Commissioner Stormy Gage Watts has an official announcement tomorrow announcing her candidacy for Shreveport Mayor on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Dr. Jeffrey Sado joining us. Dr. Sado, good morning.
Hi, guys.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. How is this going to reshape the upcoming mayor's race?
Well, it gives the incumbent, the Republican Tom Arsenault, an opponent. He's been in the race, or announced it a few months ago. You know, I think really this is more kind of a holding pattern for the contest. Gage Watts is not what I would consider to be the most formidable candidate for the office. And really, honestly, the only way I could ever see her winning is if nobody else got in the race. That'd be her only chance, but I don't see that happening. There's going to be more entries into it.
People still talking about Sam Jenkins possibly getting in the race. Last time I spoke with him, he told me it's too soon to say. He is considering it, was what he told me.
Yeah, he'd be a much higher quality candidate. He got himself elected from larger constituencies. He's the leader of the Senate Democrats, in essence, in the state. So, I think he's proven that he'd be a much more formidable candidate, and Gage Watts would be an afterthought if a candidate of his quality were to get into the race.
Dr. Sato, do you see any other Republican candidates getting into the race?
Oh, you know, you kind of hear words about that here and there, not a serious candidate, not a quality candidate. I would doubt that because, you look at Arsenault, of course, he's an incumbent. He's got a pretty good war chest, and there might be some things that he's done that might irk some Republicans, there's really nothing, I think, that there'd be any widespread dissatisfaction that would have somebody, again, maybe risk their elected position or at the very least have to go out and spend a bunch of money. What would probably be an uphill battle. So, no, I think as far as quality Republican candidates go, he's in the clear.
What about as John Paul Young, another Caddo Parish commissioner? He is not very happy with Mayor Arsenault. He has told me he's actually thinking about it. What kind of implication would he have on the race?
Well, certainly he'd detract from Arsenault's support. Young has taken a very, I guess you could say, independent kind of positioning in his service on the commission. So he might be able to attract some crossover votes as well. But really, I think he'd be more of an impediment to Arsenault's reelection than he would have the ability to defeat Arsenault and win election to the office.
Let's put you in the room with Stormy Gage Watts tomorrow when she makes her big announcement and we'll be answering questions. What are her biggest attributes? What are we going to hear from her?
Oh, I think she's going to try to tout some of the things that she's done on the commission or been a part of. Of course, she led it for a little while. So she could try to play that up. The thing about the commission, though, is that it seems in the last few years it's become more of a debating society than anything else. You take a look at the meetings, and it's become mostly passing these various vanity resolutions that one or more commissioners want. And in terms of the actual nuts and bolts, which are not very exciting, like dealing with zoning matters and the like, the budget, of course, is of some interest. But you see much more emphasis placed upon these kind of resolutions that they're doing than less exciting business of the commission. So, maybe she'll play up some of these resolutions that she's been part of. Of course, that appeals they appeal to a fairly just a segment of the electorate. Again, I don't know that there's not a better Democratic candidate out there that could do a better job in terms of demonstrating credentials for being mayor than the kinds of things that that she's done on the commission.
Won't she take credit for the commission's great financial position? Don't you expect to hear that too?
Oh, yeah. The commission is at this point not in bad financial shape. As a matter of fact, they're going out and have talked about, and maybe these some of the things that you talk about would be giving away free food and this pledge to pay for free early childhood education. And then there's the latest pickleball thing. So that's maybe kind of the things that that would be touted, with a body that or government that has money to spare, at least at this point. Again, though, I'm not sure that those are really things that would capture a broad constituency. And certainly, if you look at other potential candidates, I think they could do a better. They have more ammunition to be able to present themselves as mayoral possibilities.
So those are some strengths. What are some weaknesses that other candidates might point out? You mentioned the resolutions a moment ago.
And of course, the ongoing controversy about the resolutions that weren't really resolutions officially that has gotten the attention of the Attorney General. Those kinds of things could be brought up by other candidates, although I don't know that other Democrats would necessarily hone in on those kinds of things. But certainly, there's been a lot of controversy about some of these things that have been decided by the commission, and that's things that opponents could play up.
What are other flaws that you see in Stormy Gage Watts?
Well, she's never really run a large scale campaign before that'd be required. Now it takes hundreds of thousands of dollars to make yourself a competitive candidate in a Shreveport mayoral race, and she's of course never come close to that or had the need to do that. So she doesn't have a lot of electoral experience in that fashion, campaign experience. And it's not impossible to win coming from that kind of position, but I just think there are going to be other candidates in this race that are coming from better positions that have demonstrated that they can win these kind of races. They can raise the money needed to win these kinds of races and be competitive. And so I think that's the first big hurdle. She's got to convince enough people that she has the ability to do that.
Would she be better suited to wait 4 years?
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of open season in Arsenault because he's seen as an aberration by Democrats. Never should have gotten there in the office in the first place, and so they considered him particularly vulnerable. But if this is really her ultimate ambition or some ambition down the road, she might want to step up to another office or try to, or at least state legislature, something like that. I'd say city council, but she's not yet a resident of Shreveport, is she? So I think she's got to get herself there first. I think before she
is that accurate? She's not. She doesn't live in the city limits.
That's what I've heard. Now I don't know that maybe she's moved or whatever, but there is a question about her. She's not obviously a resident. Of course, that didn't hurt Greg Tarver because he was able to claim his place of work as domicile.
Maybe I was just going to say, maybe there's a coffin she sleeps in someplace.
Yeah. Maybe so.
Dr. Sato, thank you so much for your time this morning, and we'll stay on top of it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and Betts.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
FM, 710 Keel, Micah McCarty. Well, I understand because I read keelnews.com. Curtis Jackson getting $50 million from the state.
Mm-hmm. We were told it was going to come around Christmas time. It's a little bit late, but it looks like the money has arrived from the Louisiana Economic Development Department. And
$50 million is worth waiting for.
Yep.
I think.
He's also investing about $120 million of his own money.
Right. Okay.
We're talking.
I'm not
No.
Criticizing because if this is an investment, let's get going. We've been waiting 2 years.
Yeah.
How long has it been?
It's been a minute. And he's planning on, beefing up the Millennium Studios and modernizing it, bringing projects there, renovating stage works, going to build a permanent G-Dome in downtown Shreveport. It looks like this could mean as many as 6,000 jobs over the next few years. I mean, it's a big deal with a huge economic impact on our community.
If he comes through with half of what those proposals we saw, the architectural drawings and presentations, mm-hmm. and it's going to be incredible.
Right.
Of course, the model is Atlanta and what Tyler Perry has done in Atlanta.
Sure.
We understand Curtis Jackson wants to do that in Shreveport.
He absolutely does. Now, there are questions about, are you writing him a blank check for $50 million and he can do what he wants? No. It's interesting how that's being handled.
This is, yes.
And we're going to have there's a committee that's going to oversee the money and the doling out of the money. And one of the members of that committee is going to join us after 7. Looking forward to chatting with him.
We'll find out what he can spend the money on, mm-hmm. what he can't spend the money on.
Yep.
And hopefully find out when we'll get going.
You bet. Absolutely.
Let's see productions filming.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see local actors getting hired.
Absolutely. We need to rock and roll.
We'll talk with Grant Nichols coming up after the news top of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on that free Kiel app. Take us anywhere.
Seven FM, 710 Kiel, Mike and McCarty. And we are joined on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker hotline by Grant Nichols, who is one of the 5 members of the Shreveport Film and Entertainment Economic Development Corporation. Oh, that's a mouthful.
Who came up with that name?
Yeah.
government. The longer the name, I guess more gets done.
Because that's not going on a business card.
Right.
That's right.
Grant,
50 being in control of marketing.
Grant, good morning. Thanks for joining us. This commission has been formed to oversee, if I'm understanding this correctly, the $50 million in incentives that has been awarded to Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. Is that correct?
That's correct. So this is $50 million total that's coming from an existing state taxpayer fund. That money goes through our nonprofit organization into LED, who will administer and do all the heavy lifting in conjunction with 50 Cent.
What are your marching orders and who are they coming from?
So the marching orders are spelled out in a really impressive and detailed cooperative endeavor agreement that is between LED, our organization, and 50 Cent. And I have to give props to LED and Mike Bustada, who really has been in the nuts and bolts of drafting what I think is a really impressive and pro-taxpayer CEA.
So let's get into the nuts and bolts. What is the money aimed at? What can he spend this money on?
So the money is spent in $10 million tranches, not all at once, and it has to be spent between the 3 main facilities that we're talking about, Expo Hall, Millennium, and the newly constructed Dome. They have to, they're spent on a percentage basis, so they can't all be spent in one facility. And they have to be, they're reimbursable expenses, meaning he has to come out of pocket and spend on what's defined as a capital expense, meaning hard assets. And then through this agreement, the state will reimburse those capital hard assets in these taxpayer-owned facilities.
But he's demonstrated historically since he's been here, he's not afraid to drop his own money and invest in this area.
That's right. I mean, I try to look at it, I'm a taxpayer and a business person. I try to look at it as, return on our taxpayer investments. I look at this, these are dollars that you and I as taxpayers are spending. And so, if you look at it, it's really for every dollar of the $50 million that could be spent total, He's putting in around $150 million on top of that. And then you've got this economic development study that he's been done that will hopefully bear fruit. But as far as this particular project, you've got, you know, about for every dollar of taxpayer money being spent of hard assets, he's going to spend $2.50 on top of it.
So with this funding, have you been privy to plans that we can expect? Is there anything you can share that we can look forward to?
No detailed plans as far as specific productions and things like that, but I can tell you, for example, it's not just he has to spend money on a hard asset and we give and then we, the taxpayers, you know, help recoup that. There are very, very defined details. Projects, for example, there has to be two projects in the first year with a minimum of $5 million budget using, I think, 50% Louisiana workers in the first year. And that goes up to 80% in years 3 through 5. The second year, $10 million worth of projects. The third year, $20 million worth of projects. There has to be live events. I believe it's 26 live events per year. I mean, and this is a very aggressive timeline, too. So this isn't going to be one of these things where money goes out and you twiddle your thumbs. I mean, I think for him to get this total $50 million, you've got to see not only a lot of assets being moved in place, but you've got to see a lot of events happening. You've got to see a lot of
production. This is like a performance-based contract.
100%.
Are there job numbers connected with the millions? Each million has to bring in so many jobs?
Aaron, I haven't seen job numbers, but I have seen these productions to happen.
Hang on, Grant. We're losing you. You're
breaking
cutting
up
out a
smidge.
Little bit. Repeat that,
you're
please.
In the Shreveport Tunnel.
Sorry. No, that's right.
Okay, so
for these live performances to happen, it's got to use Louisiana workers. So there aren't like actual quantity of workers in place, but it's percentages. So for him to get these dollars and do these performances and productions, it's a certain percent of, you know, Louisiana, majority Louisiana residents that have to be used.
Does the deal go away? Because, I mean, we have sat now for 2 years, and the first contract said he's got to have movement. I think it was 180 days. What if we go beyond he's got a certain amount of time, you said a year, I believe. What if we get beyond that and we haven't met the criteria? Does this $50 million then go away?
It does. And again, the $50 million is not a blank check up front. It's reimbursable. So, you know, he has to do the work, for example, in year one to get that first tranche of money. And there are clawback provisions, too, really, really strong clawback provisions. So if he doesn't meet the expense or these performance objectives, you know, the state can get that money back. So, I mean, again, I really try to look at this in the eyes of a taxpayer because that's all I am. And I think it's really, really well written. And he is really incentivized to spend the money correctly and to spend the money quickly.
You mentioned a minute ago, you said taxpayer owned properties. We know Millennium is owned by the city. We know Stageworks is owned by the city. Would the G Dome be owned by the city?
I don't think so, Aaron. That's more of a question for Besada, but I do think or know that all the improvements are, at least the $50 million total that this money is being spent on, would be owned by the state. So, you know, that's and that money's divvied up in all three properties. So a significant amount of that dome improvements would be owned by the taxpayer through this organization. I believe he would own the dome itself.
Okay. The other members of the commission are LED Secretary Susan Bourgeois, yourself, Kyle Ruckert. I believe he's the governor's chief of staff.
Right. Sam Jenkins is on there as well.
And Jack McFarlane.
Yes.
How often are you guys going to meet? Is it going to be meet as needed? What's the plan?
I believe as needed. I think we have another meeting coming up in February now that this you know, has all been announced. I'm not anticipating. Our organization is more checks and balances and oversight. Again, I think the heavy lifting is going to be going on an ongoing basis between LED administering this contract with 50. But I would anticipate us meeting, you know, at least quarterly and as needed on top of that.
Talking with Grant Knuckles. Grant, this all sounds like it's going swimmingly. Are there any concerns that you have? I mean, are there any red flags that you see?
I've really looked for red flags and thought about that, Mike. Not that I see. I mean, I think there's, you know, there could be construction delays and production delays and things like that. But as far as these dollars go, they have to be spent the right way, and they have to be spent pretty quickly. So, I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited about, you know, the city has a separate piece. It's a little confusing because the city has their gateway district with some sales tax dollars attached to that. But again, that's based on him spending his money and getting those clubs up and running and getting those other properties up and running. So I think altogether, this thing could really drive some economic development in the heart of our city. And what I'm really excited about as a taxpayer is that these two of these facilities, not the Dome, but Millennium and Expo Hall, have been sitting vacant for a long time. And you and I are on the hook for paying to keep those up. And so I'm excited to see somebody from the outside come in, use his dollars with a little refundable help from the state.
I'm excited about some downtown development as well. I'm looking forward to that happening. Grant Knuckles, can you hold with us? We got to take a quick break.
Sure.
Okay, we'll be right back. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710keel.
We're on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline with Grant Knuckles, one of five members of the Shreveport Film and Entertainment Economic Development Corporation. Grant, the way we were talking about this $50 million disbursement, it's a reimbursement, basically. You mentioned the three properties, Millennium Studios,
the Stageworks
properties, and, of course, the Dome. Can he use this money for other developmental properties or just those three?
No, just those three, and spread out, I believe it says 40% to Millennium, 40% to Expo Hall, and 20% to the Dome. So spread across those three properties, but only those three properties specific to this $50
million. Okay.
So all the other properties he has bought in downtown Shreveport, he has to redevelop those with his own money?
Correct.
Okay. How will the application process work? Does his team put together a proposal and then submit it to you guys? What's the time frame for that? Do you know?
I think the time frame is pretty quick. This agreement spells out, I think, the sooner of 1 year from the agreement or 1 year from the end of this year when that money needs to start rolling in. He will interface with LED as far as getting those reimbursement tranches. I believe they're $10 million tranches. And so they will be the first line of defense or screening, so to speak, on him showing LED, okay, here's money that's been spent. I'm requesting $10 million. They will screen it. Are these, you know, acceptable expenses? Are you following the production timelines? And then our body will then oversee that process as well. In addition, there's, CPA audits, I believe annual audits that will be happening as well.
That brings up something. Let's say he's already spent $10 million on Millennium. Is it money that he has to spend from this point forward, or can he be reimbursed for monies he's already spent?
I don't know that, Aaron. I believe it's this point forward. I'm not sure that – I think some money has been spent in Millennium. I don't think it's millions and millions of dollars at this point.
Right.
I imagine, putting myself in his shoes, I imagine he wanted the stuff with the city and state in place, on his side too before heavy lifting started happening. But – now that this is in place with the aggressive timelines, I'm excited to see some real action going on down there on those properties.
Grant Knuckles, have you spoke with him or any of his people? Is he happy with this setup?
I haven't spoken to him directly about this. I have spoken to him a couple times. I can tell you he's damn happy in general with Shreveport and the people he's met. And I mean, he's more pro Shreveport than some Shreveporters I talked to. I mean, he's ready to get to work.
And I love
When you read the press release, I mean, I had to stop counting just the number of networks this guy's involved in. I went on Grok yesterday and I typed in, is 50 Cent one of the most prolific filmmakers in the world? And it says yes, and then spells out all the things he's involved with. And that's in the press release as well.
Exciting.
I mean, I think, but Susan Bourgeois and LED is really impressive. I mean, they're not going to draft and agree. Even though this agreement is super, super, taxpayer protective, they're not going to waste time and dollars of something this scale with somebody who's just has a wish and a prayer. Mm-hmm. This is an aggressive pipeline of TV, film production, podcasts, live events. And, you know, I think the proof's in the pudding. So I'm anxious to see some more jobs in this area, some more dollars being spent downtown.
Let's ask you the question. You've probably done a lot of research on this. You're heavily involved. Do you think this will really compare to what Tyler Perry's done in Atlanta?
That's a tough question early on, Aaron. I mean, it's taken a long time for Tyler Perry to get there, but I know 50's work ethic, just from what I see from the outside. I can see the pipeline of production and what he's hungry. He's aggressive. He wants to grow. Tyler Perry's one of his mentors. Tyler Perry hosted him in Atlanta. He sees that. He's buying properties along the Texas Street Corridor because he envisions tourism coming after what we're talking about, these films come.
He's also very smart and very savvy.
Super intelligent. So I think long term, I think he's gunning for Tyler. He wants that. That's what he wants. And so, you know, if I'm a bet man, I'm gonna put my chips behind him as far as that. Nobody's going to outwork him. I can say that much.
Part of the problem, Grant Nichols, has been with the holdup has been flooding, and they're working on flooding mitigation. Can this money be used to apply towards that, or is that being taken care of?
I don't know. I believe the city and Tom Dark would know more on what's going on with the flooding down there. I do know that it has to be a capital expense on any one of these three properties. And so if he decided that part of his scope needed to be pipes and, you know, dirt work and concrete work and mitigation, that, you know, those are capital expenses that could be used. But I'm not sure the details on who's currently responsible for the flooding down there.
One last thing for Grant Nichols. How did you get involved? Who approached you and said, hey, we want you to be one of these really prime five people that manages this?
Yeah, I heard about it through Senator Thomas Presley told me about what was going on, and I think as a governor appointee, I'm not exactly sure, but I imagine the governor reaches out to local delegation to say, hey, who might be a good, you know, just citizen that could serve on this committee. And so Thomas put me in touch with the group, and it's exciting. Look, I'm just excited to see jobs, more growth, more action going on in the heart of the city.
Absolutely. Grant Nichols, thank you so much for your time. Great stuff.
Well, it sounds like y'all are doing it right, and mm-hmm. that's very encouraging.
Absolutely. It needs to be done right. I mean, taxpayer dollars it's important how they're spent, and I'm excited about how these are being spent.
I agree. Thank you, Grant. Have a good morning.
Y'all too. Thanks.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I'm just following up on our interview with Grant Nichols. Did you post this on Facebook, the question?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. On the Keel Facebook page, do you think that this is going to happen, basically?
When do you think Curtis 50 Cent Jackson will begin filming TV shows or movies in Shreveport?
Okay.
You can respond on our Facebook page. There are some negative Nellies, which you anticipate that. But I'm surprised. Some are saying it takes time. He's got to build. He's got to get everything in place. It's kind of interesting. There are some that are very encouraging, and they're looking forward to it. Some say, nope, he got the money he wanted and will never deliver. So
I don't agree with that.
I don't either.
I don't agree. Am I being naive? I don't think so. Simply because, and I go back to the Rev Entertainment complex that I really wanted to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Mayor Arsenault wanted, I was encouraged that he wanted this to work out. But that was a situation where they wanted to come in and wanted the city to put up all the money.
Yep.
And then they would come in and run it and bring a team, etc. This is not that situation.
Nope, it's not.
Curtis Jackson has already shown he's invested millions of his own money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's gotten investors. That doesn't matter. He's come in and invested money in this community. And Grant said, there's no bigger supporter of Shreveport than Curtis Jackson right now.
Yes. And I find it interesting that he's pumping his own money into buildings that he's not going to own. He's not going to own Millennium Studios. He's not going to own Stage Works. Now he's got a nice lease.
He's got
a $200 a month lease for those buildings, and people have criticized that, saying...
But he's also responsible for all the maintenance and upkeep.
He absolutely is, and he has been doing that since the leases were signed.
Right.
But, I mean, think about it. Do you think Tyler Perry doesn't own every piece of property that he's built in Atlanta? I would be shocked if he's leasing anything. Maybe I'm wrong. People can call me out and say, you're wrong.
Right.
But it's an interesting arrangement here. He's not going to own two of the biggest properties that he's going to be using. Now, maybe a deal can be worked down the road that he buys them from the city.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, he's going to be pumping money into buildings we own and improving them.
And it's not just the $50 million from the state.
No.
It's $150 of his own in addition to that.
Yes. He's pumping a ton of money, bringing jobs, and it looks like things have to be moving in a year. We have to see activity in a year. So,
I'm excited about this.
Yes,
I really am.
Yes,
for the overall, like I told Grant, mm-hmm. I'm excited for the infusion into downtown Shreveport.
You bet. Now tomorrow we have the mayor for a full hour in the 7 o'clock hour. This will be probably one of the hot topics that we'll talk with him about. What's he anticipating from this deal? You know, what timetable is he now looking at? Big questions for the mayor. And if you have a question for him, you want to ask him tomorrow.
Be sure to do it on our Jack's,
Shreveport Security Systems
message board. Thank you very much. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
What are you pointing to?
Look at the message board. We need to read this because this is so inaccurate.
Oh, God.
And people really need, we need to clear this up.
Go right ahead, because I'm not there yet.
You know, it's funny.
Oh, yeah.
Not really. That the state of Louisiana put a performance-based mandate on 50 Cent Jackson to get his monetary incentives. However, the parish just wrote a $10 million check to the YMCA without any production requirements for the pickleball complex.
No, they didn't.
That's wrong. You're wrong.
We're not writing a check to the YMCA.
The YMCA is not going to own this. The parish is going to own it.
It is a parish park.
All the YMCA is going to do is manage it. If we reach a management agreement with them, this is not money we're spending on a YMCA pickleball park. It just happens to be the location next to where they have. People just, they frustrate me.
And you don't have to go into the YMCA property even to go to the pickleball complex or rent paddles or
Nor do
use
you have to
courts.
Be a member. Exactly.
They're going to have a building there. It's just going to be operated by. Which is beneficial for the parish.
Absolutely. Just frustrating. And again, the pickleball park, they're saying at 40% use capacity, it will pay back these revenue bonds. The parish is borrowing the money, the $10 million. They're not giving that money then to the Y. They're using that money to build the pickleball park. And it's more than a park. It's going to have walking trails, picnic tables.
Soccer
fields like that. It's going to be a big park that everybody in Southeast Shreveport could use. Have we noted that Southeast Shreveport does not have a public park?
Period.
They don't have one public park. So it's about time that area gets a public park. It will be, obviously, pickleball will be the focal point of the park, but it has much more. I get frustrated when people go half-cocked and don't really understand what they're talking about. And I know people, a lot of people are against the pickleball complex. I understand that. I get that. They don't like the use of $10 million for pickleball. They don't play pickleball. They don't care about it. They don't think it'll generate the money. I've talked to a lot of people who think it will.
I don't play soccer, but I like having Kubota here. I like
you
having
bet.
Things for people to do.
Absolutely.
Because those are the same people that go, ain't nothing to do in Shreveport.
Right.
Well, shut up. They're trying to get something to do.
We're trying to keep our young people here.
Sorry, you got me going now.
Raise your hand if your kids have left the area and are probably not coming back. We see all the hands going up.
Well, hands in this room.
Hands in this room. Probably not coming back. This is not where they want to raise their children and have their families. They want to be somewhere else. We can fix that if we do things right and we generate things that attract people to our community. And yes, it might not be in your wheelhouse. It might not be something that you love to do, but it is something that some people do love to do and some people do look for in a community. That's my soapbox for today. I don't like it when you go half-cocked and you don't know what you're talking about. And I get frustrated. Oh, there goes the third grader in the room.
101.7 FM, 710 KEO.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarthy on 101.7 FM and 710 KEO.
I was I do voiceovers,
mm-hmm.
and I've got a studio, and I do most of my stuff's out of market.
Right,
it's all across the country, and this AI, Aaron, it's unbelievable now.
Yes,
it is unbelievable. I was confronted with my own voice, and it was nothing nefarious.
Okay,
nothing nefarious, and it wasn't being run. But I'm just saying, holy cow!
And it wasn't Mike Martindale talking.
No,
like
it wasn't
this.
Siri going, "How can I help you?"
It was
you?
Really your voice.
Yeah,
wow.
With inflection, and it's just.
Have you been watching the Consumer Electronics Show? What's going on in Vegas?
No.
The lawnmower they now have out.
See, I don't care about that. That's fine.
Completely mows your grass. I mean, completely okay, maps out your
that's
yard.
We back that's up. What we should be using AI.
Yes.
For.
But, okay, let me back up. What about these guys that have these services?
Yep, they'll be out of a job.
I had a manager when I worked for Brookshire's. This is back in the 70s. He was an assistant manager for Brookshire's, and Brookshire's takes care of their people, especially their management. If you get up into manage, you're a store manager.
Right.
He left that job to start a lawn mowing service. This is back in the late 70s.
Okay.
I ran into him not a few years ago. He's still doing it.
Wow.
He made a killing doing lawn service. And so we say, well, that's harmless, a mower, that's a great job. Again, you're affecting people's livelihoods.
Yes, absolutely. And we already know the vacuums. Have you seen the fancy schmancy? I mean, they map out your entire house. The little vacuum goes around and it maps out your house.
Oh, I've got a Roomba.
And I mean, but there's the ones that, and then it goes back to its docking station when it's done. I mean, they're incredible.
I haven't used it in a long time. And the vacuum cleaner doesn't fit my wife's hand for some reason.
Oh, okay.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
That is odd.
Now, that's the only thing. She, the washing machine buttons, they fit her hand.
They work,
and all that. Yeah, she does a lot. But for some reason, just the vacuum cleaner.
You look like you eat okay, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. Especially since you're retired.
You better hush up down there.
Oh, she admits it. She's the one that says, that vacuum cleaner doesn't fit my hand.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. I love that.
But AI, it's exciting, but it's also scary.
Yes.
And
yes.
almost nothing that you see or read is going to be generated by humans anymore.
Right, right, exactly.
It's
changing big time.
That's some really exciting news about the $50 million. Really enjoyed talking with Grant Nuckles. Mm-hmm. If you missed that, we'll replay that after 8 o'clock.
You bet.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty, and we are joined on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline by Grant Nuckles, who is one of the five members of the Shreveport Film and Entertainment Economic Development Corporation. Oh, that's a mouthful.
Who came up with that name?
Not I, government. The longer the name, I guess more gets done.
Because that's not going on a business card.
Right.
That's right.
Grant,
50 being in control of marketing.
Grant, good morning. Thanks for joining us. This commission has been formed to oversee, if I'm understanding this correctly, the $50 million in incentives that has been awarded to Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. Is that correct?
That's correct. So this is $50 million total that's coming from an existing state taxpayer fund. That money goes through our nonprofit organization into LED, who will administer and do all of that in conjunction with 50 Cent.
What are your marching orders, and who are they coming from?
So the marching orders are spelled out in a really impressive and detailed cooperative endeavor agreement that is between LED, our organization, and 50 Cent. And I have to give props to LED and Mike Bustada, who really has been in the nuts and bolts of drafting what I think is a really impressive and pro-taxpayer CEA.
So let's get into the nuts and bolts. What is the money aimed at? What can he spend this money on?
So the money is spent and can be spent in $10 million tranches, not all at once, and it has to be spent between the three main facilities that we're talking about, Expo Hall, Millennium, and the newly constructed Dome. They're spent on a percentage basis, so they can't all be spent in one facility. And they're reimbursable expenses, meaning he has to come out of pocket and spend on what's defined as a capital expense, meaning hard assets. And then through this agreement, the state will reimburse those capital hard assets in these taxpayer-owned facilities.
But he's demonstrated historically, since he's been here, he's not afraid to drop his own money and invest in this area.
That's right. I mean, I'm a taxpayer and a business person. I try to look at it as, return on our taxpayer investments. I look at this, these are dollars that you and I, as taxpayers, are spending. And so, if you look at it, it's of the $50 million that could be spent total, he's putting in around $150 million on top of that. And then you've got this economic development study that he's been done that will hopefully bear fruit. But as far as this particular project, you've got, about for every dollar of taxpayer money being spent of hard assets, he's going to spend $2.50 on top of it.
So with this funding, have you been privy to plans that we can expect? Is there anything you can share that we can look forward to?
No detailed plans as far as specific productions and things like that, but I can tell you, for example, it's not just he has to spend money on a hard asset and we give and then we the taxpayers help recoup that. There are very, very defined details projects. For example, there has to be two projects in the first year with a minimum of $5 million budget using, I think, 50% Louisiana workers in the first year. And that goes up to 80% in years 3 through 5. The second year, $10 million worth of projects. The third year, $20 million worth of projects. There has to be live events. I believe it's 26 live events per year. I mean, and this is a very aggressive timeline, too. So this isn't going to be one of these things where money goes out and you twiddle your thumbs. I mean, I think for him to get this total $50 million, you've got to see not only a lot of assets being moved in place, but you've got to see a lot of events happening. You've got to see a lot of
production. This is like a performance-based contract.
100%.
Are there job numbers connected with the millions? Each million has to bring in so many jobs?
Aaron, I haven't seen job numbers, but I have seen these productions to happen.
Hang on, Grant. We're losing you. You're
breaking up
a
smidge.
Repeat that,
please.
You're
in the Shreveport Tunnel.
Sorry. That's right.
Okay, so
for these live performances to happen, it's got to use Louisiana workers. There aren't like actual quantity of workers in place, but it's percentages. So for him to get these dollars and do these performances and productions, it's a certain percent of, you know, Louisiana, majority Louisiana residents that have to be used.
Double way, because, I mean, we have sat now for 2 years, and the first contract said he's got to have movement, I think it was 180 days. What if we go beyond he's got a certain amount of time, you said a year, I believe. What if we get beyond that and we haven't met the criteria? Does this $50 million then go away?
It does. And again, the $50 million is not a blank check up front. It's reimbursable. So, you know, he has to do the work, for example, in year one to get that first tranche of money. And there are clawback provisions, too, really, really strong clawback provisions. So if he doesn't meet the expense or these performance objectives, you know, the state can get that money back. So, I mean, again, I really try to look at this in the eyes of a taxpayer because that's all I am. And I think it's really, really well written, and he is really incentivized to spend the money, correctly, and to spend the money quickly.
You mentioned a minute ago, you said taxpayer-owned properties. We know Millennium is owned by the city. We know Stageworks is owned by the city. Would the G-Dome be owned by the city?
I don't think so, Aaron. That's more of a question for Besada, but I do think or know that all the improvements are, at least the $50 million total that this money is being spent on, would be owned by the state. So, you know, that's and that money's divvied up in all three properties. So a significant amount of that dome improvements would be owned by the taxpayer through this organization. I believe he would own the dome itself.
Okay. The other members of the commission are LED Secretary Susan Bourgeois, yourself, Kyle Ruckert. I believe he's the governor's chief of staff.
Right. Sam Jenkins is on there as well.
And Jack McFarlane.
Yes.
How often are you guys going to meet? Is it going to be meet as needed? What's the plan?
I believe as needed. I think we have another meeting coming up in February now that this you know, has all been announced. I'm not anticipating. Our organization is more checks and balances and oversight. Again, I think the heavy lifting is going to be going on an ongoing basis between LED administering this contract with 50. But I would anticipate us meeting, you know, at least quarterly and as needed on top of that.
Talking with Grant Knuckles. Grant, this all sounds like it's going swimmingly. Are there any concerns that you have? I mean, are there any red flags that you see?
I've really looked for red flags and thought about that, Mike. Not that I see. I mean, I think there's, you know, there could be construction delays and production delays and things like that. But as far as these dollars go, they have to be spent the right way and they have to be spent pretty quickly. So, I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited about, you know, the city has a separate piece. It's a little confusing because the city has their gateway district with some sales tax dollars attached to that. But again, that's based on him spending his money and getting those clubs up and running and getting those other properties up and running. So I think altogether, this thing could really drive some economic development in the heart of our city. And what I'm really excited about as a taxpayer is that these two of these facilities, not the Dome, but Millennium and Expo Hall, have been sitting vacant for a long time. And you and I are on the hook for paying to keep those up. And so I'm excited to see somebody from the outside come in, use his dollars with a little refundable help from the state.
I'm excited about some downtown development as well. I'm looking forward to that happening. Grant Knuckles, can you hold with us? We got to take a quick break.
Sure.
Okay, we'll be right back. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline with Grant Knuckles, one of five members of the Shreveport Film and Entertainment Economic Development Corporation. Grant, the way we were talking about this $50 million disbursement, it's a reimbursement, basically. You mentioned the three properties, Millennium Studios,
Stageworks.
Stageworks properties, yep. And, of course, the Dome. Can he use this money for other developmental properties or just those three?
No, just those three. And spread out, I believe it says 40% to Millennium, 40% to Expo Hall, and 20% to the Dome. So spread across those three properties, but only those three properties specific to this $50 million.
Okay.
So all the other properties he has bought in downtown Shreveport, he has to redevelop those with his own money?
Correct.
Okay. How will the application process work? Does his team put together a proposal and then submit it to you guys? What's the time frame for that? Do you know?
I think the time frame is pretty quick. This agreement spells out, I think, the sooner of 1 year from the agreement or 1 year from the end of this year when that money needs to start rolling in. He will interface with LED as far as the reimbursement tranches. I believe they're $10 million tranches. And so they will be the first line of defense or screening, so to speak, on him showing LED, okay, here's money that's been spent. I'm requesting $10 million. They will screen it. Are these, you know, acceptable expenses? Are you following the production timelines? And then our body will then oversee that process as well. In addition, there's, CPA audits, I believe annual audits that will be happening as well.
That brings up something. Let's say he's already spent $10 million on Millennium. Is it money that he has to spend from this point forward, or can he be reimbursed for monies he's already spent?
I don't know that, Aaron. I believe it's this point forward. I'm not sure that I think some money has been spent in Millennium. I don't think it's millions and millions of dollars at this point.
Right.
I imagine, you know, putting myself in his shoes, I imagine he wanted the stuff with the city and state in place, you know, on his side too, before heavy lifting started happening. But, you know, now that this is in place with the aggressive timelines, I'm excited to see some real action going on down there on those properties.
Grant Knuckles, have you spoke with him or any of his people? Is he happy with this setup?
I haven't spoken to him directly about this. I have spoken to him a couple times. I can tell you he's damn happy in general with Shreveport and the people he's met. And I mean, you know, he's more pro Shreveport than some Shreveporters I talked to. I mean, he's ready to get to work.
And I love that.
When you read the press release, I mean, I had to stop counting just the number of networks this guy's involved in. I went on Grok yesterday, and I typed in, is 50 Cent one of the most prolific filmmakers in the world? And it says yes, and then spells out all the things he's involved with. And that's in the press release as well.
That's exciting.
I mean, I think, you know, but Susan Bourgeois and LED is really impressive. I mean, they're not going to draft and agree. Even though this agreement is super, super, you know, taxpayer protective, they're not going to waste time and dollars on something this scale with somebody who's just has a wish and a prayer. Mm-hmm. This is an aggressive pipeline of TV, film production, podcasts, live events. And, you know, I think the proof's in the pudding. So I'm anxious to see some more jobs in this area, some more dollars being spent downtown.
Let's ask you the question. You've probably done a lot of research on this. You're heavily involved. Do you think this will really compare to what Tyler Perry's done in Atlanta?
That's a tough question early on, Aaron. I mean, it's taken a long time for Tyler Perry to get there, but I know 50's work ethic, just from what I see from the outside. I can see the pipeline of production and what he's hungry. He's aggressive. He wants to grow. Tyler Perry's one of his mentors. Tyler Perry hosted him in Atlanta. He sees that. He's buying properties along the Texas Street Corridor because he envisions tourism coming after what we're talking about, these films come.
He's also very smart and very savvy.
Super intelligent. So I think long term, I absolutely think he's gunning for Tyler. He wants that. That's what he wants. And so you know, if I'm a bet man, I'm gonna put my chips behind him as far as that. Nobody's going to outwork him. I can say that much.
Part of the problem, Grant Nuckols, has been with the holdup has been flooding, and they're working on flooding mitigation. Can this money be used to apply towards that, or is that being taken care of?
I don't know. I believe the city and Tom Dark would know more on what's going on with the flooding down there. I do know that it has to be a capital expense on any one of these three properties. And so if he decided that part of his scope needed to be pipes and, you know, dirt work and concrete work and mitigation, that, you know, those are capital expenses that could be used. But I'm not sure the details on who's currently responsible for the flooding down there.
One last thing for Grant Nuckols. How did you get involved? Who approached you and said, hey, we want you to be one of these really prime five people that manages this?
Yeah, I heard about it through Senator Thomas Presley told me about what was going on. And I think as a governor appointee, I'm not exactly sure, but I imagine the governor reaches out to local delegation to say, hey, who might be a good, you know, just citizen that could serve on this committee. And so Thomas put me in touch with the group, and it's exciting. Look, I'm just excited to see jobs, more growth, more action going on in the heart of the city.
Absolutely. Grant Nuckols, thank you for your time. Great stuff.
Well, it sounds like y'all are doing it right, and that's very encouraging.
Absolutely. It needs to be done right. I mean, taxpayer dollars it's important how they're spent, and I'm excited about how these are being spent.
I agree. Thank you, Grant. Have a good morning.
Y'all too. Thanks.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I'm kind of disappointed. Yeah, I think yesterday I was asking about I-20. We're going to have to reach out to Aaron, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Aaron Buchanan, DOTD spokesperson.
Right.
Because Friday I went over to Bossier thinking I could just breeze across I-20 eastbound, and it was narrowed down to one lane again.
Oopsie.
Crews were on I-20. I think they were doing the final striping.
Okay,
and
gotcha.
The, and the like the, on the side of the road and the center line striping, that type of thing. I think that's what they're doing. I mean, they there's nothing much left to do.
And I still see that
maybe
police officer right there at Spring Street. If you're headed eastbound, I know the sign will be that it's all done when they move that police officer.
Right.
They move him along.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we don't need him anymore. We can now let trucks go through. So right now, still can't send
Good
a truck
gosh.
Through.
Gosh. What? Can you imagine that duty?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Maybe they swap them out every
four or something.
Or 2 hours.
They have a porta potty up there, speaking of duty, and that's rough. I did get a text, by the way, for you from Councilman Jim Taliaferro. You were concerned about the traffic light at Beverly and Kings Highway?
Yeah, right there in front of El Compadre.
Mm-hmm. Traffic engineering went out there yesterday to investigate the light and to try to figure out what was going on. They're going to fix that. They also...
Yeah, because if you're coming off of Beverly trying to turn onto Kings Highway... Now, that's an odd intersection because if you're coming from the Cub over by Broadmoor Garage, it's not directly across from you.
It's close.
It's
yeah.
over to the right. Mm-hmm. It's not an X.
It's caterjobbered.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's very confusing. Mm-hmm. That's why there's no right turn there, which people just ignore all the time. Some people ignore the going left and on the red
because you
have to sit there for so long.
Mm.
So I understand it's a little more complex as far as the lighting is done, but that is still an inordinate amount of time.
You could order takeout
because
from El Compadre.
You could walk out of your car and go get it and eat and then come back.
And your light's still red,
because the green is still on Kings Highway. That's it's green forever.
The other thing that we brought up that we were wrong about, we need to correct, the light at the foot of the Jimmy Davis Bridge on the Shreveport side is temporary.
Yes.
It's not going to be permanent. So they've put it there right now because of the re-ramping in that area.
Right.
And so they have it there so the traffic can get through. But it's not going to be a permanent light. They're going to remove it when they're done with the construction. So just FYI. Some people had told me they thought it was permanent. It's not the truth.
We got several messages on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. It is not permanent.
Yep, absolutely.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Should I talk about this power grid operator that has a problem?
You can, yeah. Are you going to stir folks up? Here you go.
And I was the one that was in support of the data center, mm-hmm. which I still am.
Now, we need to know that the problems with data centers that are having the problems are the older ones. The newer ones that are coming online now don't seem to have the problems if you read the reports. But this is from what, the Wall Street Journal?
This is an article in the Wall Street Journal. 67 million people in a 13-state region that stretches from New Jersey to Kentucky get their power from a market operated by a nonprofit called PJM, which was, I don't remember the name of it, but it's Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. New Jersey, blah, blah, blah. They're saying rates are going up for consumers. Now, like you said, older power plants are going out of service faster than new ones can be built.
Mm-hmm.
So it's affecting older power plants.
And I believe older data centers.
Okay.
These are not the newfangled data centers that are built in a new way. Because there was a big question here that they wanted to go visit. Ken Epperson, the Caddo commissioner, wanted to go visit the Memphis data center that's had all kind of problems. And folks said, no, we're not going to spend the money because we know that one is not doesn't have a good track record.
Right.
It's not the company we're dealing with. It wasn't built like the one we're talking about. So why would we go visit something that's not apples to apples? So anyway,
PJM, the power supplier, expects power demand to grow by 4.8% a year on average for the next decade. Says consumers are furious about rate increases, and tech companies, including Amazon, Alphabet, and Microsoft, have fought against proposed rules that would require data centers to build their own power sources or go dark during demand surges.
Hmm.
So that's a little disturbing,
right?
But in fairness, I have to bring it up.
Mm-hmm. Just remember, start saving your bills from SWEPCO or whatever your power company is, and let's see.
Because these concerns were addressed specifically,
and we've been told emphatically that our power bills will not go up.
This is not going to affect.
That's what we've been told.
And the water usage is not going to affect Shreveport or our ability to provide water to the residents.
Right. Now, I'm not going to tell you our water bill's not going to go up. It won't be going up because of the data center. Our water bills are going up because we have that consent decree hanging over our head that we have to pay for.
Right.
So that was already in the works before a data center ever was birthed. So just know that. And you're not going to be able to blame that increase if the city does approve it eventually. You're not going to be able to blame that on the data center. But the mayor has said having the data center buy that much water from us might put off having to increase the water rates for a little while.
It actually will be beneficial and allow them to make improvements.
Mm-hmm, you bet.
Because of the increased revenue from the sale of that much more water.
We may have to bring this up with the mayor when he joins us tomorrow morning.
That's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
He will be here tomorrow. It's the Lynch's Lawn and Fence Ask the Mayor segment. You can get your questions in. In fact, I'd suggest you might do that now.
Yep.
To the Shreveport Security Systems message board for the mayor, because he's here for an hour answering your questions.
Mm-hmm.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on that free Keel app.
Big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
We asked earlier, because we talked about the $50 million that the state has approved incentives for Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. And we asked the question on our Facebook page, when do you think Curtis 50 Cent Jackson will begin filming TV shows or movies in Shreveport?
And lots of negative folks. There are a few positive. One from Stephanie, who says, there's so many negative Nancys on here. No offense to anyone named Nancy. I'm super excited to see what Mr. Jackson does in our community. I've been a fan since I was young and have really admired him as an entrepreneur when he first bought Vitamin Water many, many years ago. I know this man has good business sense, and he's going to do great things in our community. I think we need to be positive.
Stephanie, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. I think... I'm based on, again, based on him investing millions already of his own money in our community.
But there are so many negatives. Follow the money. This might be a takeover like the Somalians did in Michigan. It was Minnesota, but
20 Wait a minute. Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah. 2030 is when it'll happen. Another one says, when we get a new president. Another one says, I don't know. I have a life to live. There's lots of negatives. Another one, never. Got the money he wanted, will never deliver. I hope we're not looking back on this. One compared it to Elio Motors.
It's not the same thing.
No.
I mean, not at all. And the $50 million has specific requirements to it. And it's not just a $50 million check. Thank you very much. If you heard our interview with Grant Knuckles, who is on that commission that is overseeing this money, 40% to the Millennium Studios, 40% to Stageworks, and 20% to the G-Dome.
Yep.
And those are performance-based money, and it's reimbursement. He has to spend that money up front, and then will be reimbursed.
Lots of strings attached to the cash.
Yes.
So it's not just doling out the money and waving him peace out, see you later, have fun. It's not how it's handled. And I like that. I mean, they made a real strict contract.
And there are requirements for Louisiana employees.
Mm-hmm. You bet. You bet.
So I think this is a great deal.
I'm excited about it. I know people were a little bit burned because the first contract for Millennium had a 180-day clause in it, and it went past and past and past, and nothing happened. So people were a little bit miffed.
But there were a lot of reasons, including the state decimating the film tax credits that had to be reestablished.
And flooding at the Millennium building. I mean, it wasn't usable. You can't lease somebody something they can't use and then tell them, better get started using it.
Right.
Well, I can't use it. It's still flooding.
Ask the mayor tomorrow in the 7 o'clock hour. Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio answering your questions. Mm-hmm. You can submit your question through the Shreveport Security Systems message board through the Keel app. It is absolutely a free download. So go ahead and get your questions in for tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on that free Keel app.